Green blessings and hello, everyone. This is Susan Weed here at Blog Talk Radio, and I am joined by my wonderful daughter, Justine, who's going to be helping out this evening. Are you here, Justine?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I certainly can. My phone line has some static on it. I hope it's not too bad.
Yeah, I kind of do hear the static. Well, we'll do what we can, right?
Okay, good.
All right. Well, I'm so glad that you're here to join us tonight. Everybody knows who Susan is. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal Series. Susan has been teaching about women's health and herbal medicine for many, many decades. You can learn more about Susan if you don't know about Susan at susanweed.com. She has a wonderful weekly e-zine, a very busy and active forum, and literally thousands and thousands of articles online for you to enjoy, plus a wonderful free online course called Nourishing Herbal Infusions. Just go to nourishingherbalinfusions.com and you can learn about that there. So, Susan, what have you been doing at the farm?
Oh, we've been playing with the baby goats. And as always, that is my hands-down best remedy for anyone who's depressed, is to come and spend an afternoon with the baby goats. I guarantee you will not be depressed when they're done with you.
How wonderful. How many babies are there?
They've been jumping on us, nibbling our hair, you know, seeing if our noses are good to eat, and just generally being delightful, jumping up on everything they can possibly jump up on.
Oh, that is great. Well, we have a few people who have called in and are with us live, but nobody has pressed the, I think it's the number one button on their phone to indicate they have a question to ask. I do have some people who wrote in and asked, requested if you would answer their questions. They're overseas, and they were hoping that you would answer their questions by me telling you their question and you answering. Are you up for that?
I'm definitely up for that.
Okay, well, let's just launch right in then, shall we?
Sure.
Okay. Kelly in Istanbul says, many blessings and thank you so much for the opportunity to ask you a question. I actually have two, but I'll try to make them short. And I'm going to give you a little information about me, too, so hopefully that will be useful. I had two premature births, and my cycles went from 28 to 21 days and adjusted back to 24, which they have been at for 20 years now. My hormone tests say that everything is normal, but I had not tried to get pregnant in many years, and now I'm in a relationship and really want to have a child. So I got pregnant 3 years ago, miscarried at nine weeks, and developed cellulite. I think it's hormonal. There have been times that we think we've conceived. We still think it's possible, but we're in our 40s, and although we feel young and strong, we want to do what we can to increase our odds for a miracle. I need some guidance about which herbs to use during my monthly cycle to increase my chances of achieving and sustaining a healthy pregnancy. And, you know, Susan, there are so many people that write in and ask this question, too. So I'm so glad that Kelly is sharing this with us, because she's not the only one that has this question. She says she has red clover and Vitex tincture on hand, but she has some questions about when to use them and any other helpful herbs that she can add to the party. Could you walk her through a monthly cycle with a good plan for which herbs to use and when? And then she says in parentheses, follicular, ovulation, luteal phases. For example, is there conflicting information regarding Vitex? And then she wants to add to that that she developed cellulite after a miscarriage, and could it be hormonal? Are there herbs she can use to metabolize the fat on a cellular level, and are they safe to use while still trying to conceive?
All right, let's see if I can make my answer simple. So first, let's talk about cellulite. Cellulite is a normal part of women's bodies. There is nothing abnormal about cellulite at all. Women's skin is tied to their muscles with little threads. And if there is weight gain in the thighs or the buttocks, then those little threads pull the skin in a little bit, and that's what is called cellulite. It's a kind of wavy or lumpy appearance rather than smooth, flat skin. And that often happens merely from weight gain. And basically, if you lose the weight, then that skin will have a smooth appearance. Is losing weight a safe thing to do when you're trying to get pregnant? Absolutely not. So I would say do your best to find it beautiful. Do your best to say, wow, how womanly. Now, as to the possibility of a miracle, there are always miracles. I met a woman who got pregnant 3 years after her last period. So in other words, she was postmenopausal by 3 years, and nonetheless she got pregnant. So there are certainly miracles. That said, the optimum age for getting pregnant and giving birth in an adult female human being is between the ages of 15 and 25. That is when our bodies are most fertile. We're going to have the best outcomes. We're going to get pregnant the easiest, and there's going to be the fewest birth defects. From 25 to 35, our chances diminish. The risk of birth defect goes up. From 35 to 45, the chance of birth defects is very, very high, and the ability of our bodies to conceive is very low. And because of these two factors together, what I tell any woman over 35 who wants to get pregnant and wants to have a baby is that you must be ready to miscarry again and again and again. The least number of miscarriages that I have seen in a woman over 35 who wound up with a live, healthy baby was 3. And it goes up from there. So if this is too emotionally devastating to look forward to miscarrying several times before you get a viable fetus, then I advise people to give it up. Because this is a very real and very, to my mind, important, healthy thing that the body is doing. Basically, what the body is saying is, this one isn't good enough. No, and this one isn't good enough. And this one is not good enough either. Because both the material in the egg and the material in the sperm, because of the age of the participants, has undergone degradation at the DNA level. So that's, I think, very important to decide for yourself. Can I deal with this? Can I deal with getting pregnant, losing a baby, getting pregnant, losing a baby, and so on, until I actually get to one? And one of my dear friends, was told flat out by her gynecologist that she was too old and too fat, and she simply couldn't get pregnant. And she did, and with some of the things we'll be talking about. And she lost that at just about 12 weeks. And it was devastating to her to have finally gotten pregnant and then to lose it that far along. And she was more upset than she had been when her gynecologist told her she couldn't get pregnant. And I advised her to try again. And she lost the second one at about 8 or 9 weeks. And she tried again. And the third one is now 4 years old. So, again, I have definitely seen miracles, but we got to get to the miracle. We got to be willing to say, pass on this one, pass on this one. As for the herbs and the diet, what I suggest dietarily for women who are interested in getting pregnant and who are over 35 is animal fat at every meal. Animal fat is one of the most critical components of a diet for fertility. And animal fat does not have to be meat. It could be fish. It can be full-fat cheese. It can be full-fat yogurt. It can be full-fat milk. It can be eggs. It can be butter. There are a great many sources of animal fat, but we need to be eating animal fat a minimum of 3 times a day. And if you can fit some animal fat in on a snack and get 4 or even 5 times a day, so much the better. Even women with polycystic ovarian syndrome, have been able to get pregnant and carry to term so long as they keep plenty of animal fat in their diet. Now, I will also say that raw food diets and vegan diets are known for being anti-fertility. In fact, 50% of women who adopt a vegan diet or a raw food diet become infertile within the first year of eating such a diet, and of those women, half will never be able to conceive or carry to term. So if you are eating one of these diets, I would say that your chances are slim, and you need to eat a broader, better diet. Even a vegetarian diet is a pretty poor excuse for fertility diet. Again, you could on a vegetarian diet, because vegetarian diets include dairy products and fish. So you could still have animal fat at least 3 times a day and quite possibly get pregnant. But if you've been a vegetarian for a long time, I would say that that is going to knock down your chances. And this is over 45 years of experience and a sister who's a midwife, and a lot of looking at what makes a healthy conception and what makes a healthy baby. And none of these, what I call deprived diets, raw food, vegan, or vegetarian, none of them make for healthy pregnancies or healthy babies. As a matter of fact, the brain of the developing fetus and the brain of the young child for the first 3 years is completely dependent on cholesterol. And without cholesterol, the brain simply does not develop correctly. So depriving a mother-to-be of meat deprives the baby of cholesterol and makes your baby stupider. And depriving the child itself, once the child is born, of meat and things that come from animals, again, deprives the child of cholesterol, and so the child can never actually achieve its full potential. Certainly, Vitex and red clover are excellent herbs to use. Vitex is considered to be the herb that turns back the clock on the hormonal system. Once we are past the age of 30, our body is already moving into menopause. And this is startling for many women. They think of menopause as being something that happens around 50, but in fact, from the time of puberty, when we begin making a very potent estrogen called estradiol, or sometimes estradiol, from when we start making that at puberty, for about the next 10 to 12 years, our levels rise. So that's that 15 to 25 period. We're getting more and more estradiol. Estradiol is the hormone that triggers ovulation, triggers luteinizing hormone, triggers follicle-stimulating hormone, basically sets the whole I-can-get-pregnant dance in to its steps. Once we are past that 10 to 12 years after we begin menstruating, then every month we make less and less and less estradiol. For some women, that is a very sharp drop-off. So that by the time they're in their mid-30s, they are actually getting menopausal symptoms, hot flashes, sleeplessness, a variety of other things. For other women, that's a much longer, slower taper off, so that they may not start getting symptoms until they're in their mid to late 40s. So Vitex, as I said, resets the clock, turns the clock back, makes the hormonal system think that you're much younger and allows you to produce more estradiol and therefore have a stronger chance of getting pregnant. Red clover is my favorite herb for fertility, and it is primarily grown for pregnant and lactating cows, so it's absolutely safe to use when you're pregnant and absolutely safe to use when you're lactating. I like to make red clover infusion, which means that I take 1 ounce of dried red clover, put it in a quart jar, fill that jar right up to the top with boiling water. Then I take a wooden spoon and I stir. The dried red clover will absorb an amazing amount of water, And as you stir it, it will absorb that water, and then you'll have to put more water in your jar so that it's filled right up to the very top. Put a tight lid on that and let that sit for a minimum of 4 hours. Overnight is just fine. When it's done steeping, strain it, squeeze the red clover blossoms to get all the good out of it, and then refrigerate that liquid. You can drink as much as 3 quarts a week. I wouldn't go beyond that. All right, I don't feel comfortable having people drink endless amounts of red clover. 2 quarts a week is even enough, but if you want to do 3, that's fine. And yes, both the mother-to-be and the father-to-be would do well to drink the red clover infusion. So there aren't any special things that need to be done at any special times of the menstrual months. The Vitex does need to be taken in rather lavish doses and for rather long times. The suggested dose of Vitex is 4 dropperfuls, up to 4 times a day, but a minimum of 2 times a day. So that's quite a bit of Vitex, and we know that it is safe to take Vitex for years and years and years at a time, and many women find that it takes a year or more for the effect of Vitex to really be manifest. Working with the red clover, I've had many women say that they were able to get pregnant much faster than a year. But again, don't give up on the Vitex if it doesn't seem to work that fast, because it is a slower acting herb. So between Vitex and red clover, an expanded diet, lots of animal fat in that diet, and perhaps one more thing. I'm told that in Australia, the Aboriginal people say that you can have sexual congress as much as you want, but you will never get pregnant until you go to the place of the souls of the babies and petition a baby's soul to come to you to allow you to be the mother and father of that baby's soul. And I suggest this to Americans as well, that they petition a baby's soul to come and allow them to be the parents of this soul.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I have 3 people who have asked to ask a question here. So we're going to start with the person in the 919 area. And let me just unmute. So are you able to hear us, the person in the 919 area?
Yes.
Hi. Do you have a question for Susan?
Yes, actually, my wife and I had a question. The question, she had gone to the doctor and they had diagnosed her having like cysts or something on her ovary, and we wanted to know what type of herbs that Susan would suggest that is good for like ovarian cysts, because it seemed to be affecting her from getting pregnant.
Thanks for calling again. I know you've been calling. You called me a couple of times, and thanks for persisting, and I spoke with your wife earlier today, so it's really great that you're calling in, Susan.
Yes.
Is your wife there right now?
Yes, she's right here.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Oh, hi. How are you? Okay, so, Susan, did you hear and understand the question?
I did indeed hear and understand the question. So, cysts on the ovaries are fairly normal. You didn't say how old your wife is.
32.
Thank you for filling that in for us. And I personally have never known cysts in the ovaries to in any way interfere with pregnancy or conception. However, it is possible that there is not just cysts in the ovaries, but an underlying condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And polycystic ovarian syndrome does prevent conception. And it can, it doesn't have to, but it can give rise to multiple cysts in the ovaries. Now, if polycystic ovarian syndrome is going on, even if we get rid of the cysts, conception will not follow. Because there's a deeper hormonal problem going on. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, the woman involved here?
Morella.
Morella, your dad, is he bald or have thinning hair?
He doesn't have bald hair.
No.
No, so he has lots of hair.
Yes.
Okay, so makes it less likely for you to have PCOS. PCOS is often inherited from the father, and while it doesn't cause fertility problems for men, it does cause them to lose hair earlier in their lives than other men. So, you know, we're certainly not a definitive diagnosis, but it just means it's less likely. The herb that I use for dissolving ovarian cysts is chickweed. This is a good time of the year to harvest chickweed and make a chickweed tincture. And basically, you simply harvest the fresh chickweed, Stellaria media, chop it up, fill a jar pretty full. You know, you don't want to, like, fill it so tightly full that you're going to smash out the bottom of it, but it's got to be really full of chickweed. And then pour 100-proof vodka over it. No, 80-proof will not work. It has to be 100-proof vodka. And you fill the jar right to the top with chickweed, then you fill the jar right to the top with vodka, put a lid on it, and label it with the date. 6 weeks from now, that tincture will be ready to use. A dropper full is the usual dose. It can be taken anywhere from 2 to 4 times a day. And that generally dissolves ovarian cysts, depending on the size and the location of the cyst, in anywhere from 4 weeks to 14 months. One woman called. She had a cyst on her ovary the size of a lemon. And her doctor wanted to do surgery and remove her ovary, and she did not want to. And we talked about using chickweed tincture, and she decided she didn't want to wait for 6 weeks because the doctor was really hot on her tail. So she went out and she bought chickweed tincture. It's very important if you buy it that it must be made from the fresh plant material. It will not work if it's made from dried plant material. And I know that Red Moon Herbs makes their tincture from fresh plant material. And I know that Catskill Mountain Herbs makes their tincture from fresh plant material. So those are two sources where you can definitely get fresh chickweed tincture. You may, if it's a very large cyst or this is a continuing problem, wish to put up some of your own, even if you buy some, just so that you have it on hand. So she started taking a dropper full of chickweed tincture, and she took a dropper full 4 times a day, morning, noon, evening, and before she went to sleep. The doctor made her come back a month later, made her swear that she'd come back a month later, did another ultrasound. He said, look, the cyst is still the same size. I don't know what you're doing, but it isn't having any effect at all. And she looked at the doctor and she said, I don't know where I got the courage, but I looked at him and said, it is having an effect and you just can't see it. And I'll come back for another ultrasound, but I'm still not agreeing to the surgery. So he wanted her to come back in 2 weeks. And when she came back in 2 weeks, he did an ultrasound. There was not a single bit of the cyst left. And she figured what had happened was that the inside of the cyst had melted away and the outside was still there because it was harder, and it took those last 2 weeks for that to completely dissolve as well. So that's a pretty simple cyst that was removed within 6 weeks. I was approached by a woman who had a dermoid cyst. A dermoid cyst contains fingernails, teeth, bones, and hair. And so we can already see that this is going to be much harder to dissolve than a simple ovarian cyst. She had, and I tell you part of her story because I think it is important to understand the psychological issues that are also involved anytime we are doing anything. And she belonged to a religious sect in which the women were primarily valued for their ability to get pregnant and give birth and to be mothers. And there was very little else for women in this particular religious sect to do, and very little worth for any woman who didn't have children. And she was married and had children with a man and got a dermoid cyst on one ovary and allowed that ovary to be surgically removed. And when she got the dermoid cyst on the second ovary, right about that time her husband was killed in a motorcycle accident. And she was very quickly married off to another man, and it became absolutely critical to her status and her emotional mental health to be able to get pregnant and have this new man's child. And because of the dermoid cyst, she could not get pregnant. Now, dermoid cyst is much, much bigger than a regular ovarian cyst, and it basically is a baby. And so with dermoid cysts, there is often a shutdown of fertility because the body basically thinks that it is pregnant and is producing the hormones of pregnancy. And she, again, used the chickweed tincture. She did make some of her own as well as buying some to get started. And she took 4 to 6 dropperfuls. She would take 2 in the morning, 2 at night, and a couple during the day as well. And she did that consistently, as I said, for 14 months, at which point she had dissolved the cyst. She was able to conceive and to carry a child to term.
Okay. So, Susan, could you give me the names of those herbal companies? That you said, I think you said Red Moon Herb and Catskill. I didn't catch the second one.
Sure. It's the mountains, the Catskill Mountains, Catskill Mountain Herbs.
Also, if you send us an email, and I know we were already corresponding by email, send us an email and Kim will send you the links to those websites, okay?
Okay, one last thing. What are some herbs that my wife and I could take to keep our bodies maintenance and help us to keep us, you know, healthy for consumption, I mean for pregnancy, for her to get pregnant? You know, me being a man and she's a woman. I heard you
right.
mention red clover. I love that herb. It's a wonderful herb.
Red clover is great for both men and women. I usually suggest, you know, 2 to 3 quarts a week per person. Stinging nettle, very important. Eating animal fat at every meal is critically important for a pregnancy. If you're eating any kind of limited diet, I would urge you to give it up for the sake of yourself and for the sake of your child. Because limited diets are not very good for adults and they're horrible for children. You know what I mean by a limited diet?
Yes.
In other words, if you've thrown any foods out of your diet, like some people will say to me, I don't eat wheat. And I say, do you have celiac disease? And they say, no, I just don't eat wheat. That's a limited diet.
Okay. No, we don't do that.
Okay. So long as you have all foods in your diet, right? And you could leave off things like high fructose corn syrup. That would be okay. You don't have to eat that. Right. But all, you know, whole foods and a wide variety of those. And I think, you know, that focusing on getting some animal fat in at every single meal, that can be cheese, butter, full-fat yogurt. It can be fish, eggs, and, of course, meat as well. But doesn't have to be meat. It simply needs to be animal fat at every meal. Now, I will also tell you that I drink a quart of nourishing herbal infusion every single day.
Okay.
And I do know some women who are interested in getting pregnant who drink a quart and a half to 2 quarts of nourishing herbal infusion a day. I will also say I don't drink anything else. I don't drink fruit juice. I don't drink vegetable juice. I don't drink tea. I don't drink soda pops. I don't drink anything except nourishing herbal infusion. And I do have a course, Drink Your Way to Health, with nourishing herbal infusions. But you don't have to take that course to make nourishing herbal infusions. With my granddaughter, there's plenty of YouTube showing how to make nourishing herbal infusions. I talk about nourishing herbal infusions in every single one of my books. And, of course, I do have a book called Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year. And that year is the 2 months before pregnancy, the 9 months of pregnancy, and the 2 months after pregnancy. And it goes into quite some detail about herbs and herbal infusions that you both could drink before your pregnancy.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. You guys have given us a lot of valuable information, and we really appreciate it.
And you are so welcome.
Email
if you want more information or links on information on how to make infusions and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Okay. Now we have someone in the 845 area. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Well, the line's open if you'd like to ask Susan a question.
I would. My name is Skip Arthur. I live in Saugerties. And several months ago, I was in a rather bad car accident, broke a bunch of bones. And pretty much I'm healed except for the femur. And that's not netting or healing at all. And it's been over 4 months. I'd heard that comfrey and castor oil were things that would promote netting or healing. So I took some, you know, comfrey from the garden and some castor oil and made a, like a pesto out of it and applied it to my leg and have been wrapping it for 4 or 5 days now. So I wanted you to comment on how, is that a proper way to use it? And if not, how can I better use that to get some bone netting going?
Okay, well, I must admit that as soon as I hear somebody talking about a bone that doesn't heal, I suspect that the diet is not adequate.
I am a vegetarian.
There's your problem right
but
there.
I do eat animal fat. But I do eat animal fats.
I'm so glad that animal fats are for fertility. We're talking about bones here.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So it's time to get over it. It's time to become a member of the human race and to start eating some animals. The gifts of the animals are critically important to all of us. And I would urge you to eat small amounts of pasture-raised organic meat. It's available in the local supermarket. You can go right into the local supermarket and get pasture-raised organic meats.
And Skip lives here in the area. Skip, you're the garlic farmer, is that true?
You got it.
I love you. This is Justine. You know me from Smythe House.
Oh, Justine, hi.
How are you? I'm so sorry to hear
well,
of your accident.
Now, just to... all my other bones have healed fine. And what this is a non-union. The bones are was broken and crushed, and there's a bunch of pieces in a hole between the two the parts of the femur.
Is it possible
all
that you need to have...
bones broken, my ulna, you know, wrist, and up on my hip, which were just fractured. Those are all healed. The only thing that's not healing is this non-union femur.
Here's what I think you're telling me.
And
I think what you're telling me is the two ends of the bones are not meeting.
Right. There's bone fragments in between. There's a rod that's holding it all together.
Right. So comfrey infusion
internally
would be far better than comfrey applied externally.
Okay, so tell me how to make that.
1 ounce of dried comfrey in a quart jar. Fill the jar to the top with boiling water. Screw a tight lid on it. Let it steep for 4 hours or overnight. Strain it out when it's done. Squeeze the dried comfrey leaf, which will be wet now, to get all the liquid out of it. Put the comfrey leaf in your compost pile. Put the liquid in your refrigerator and drink it over the next day. I had an accident, not as bad as yours, but I did separate my shoulder from my body. In other words, there was no longer any tendons, ligaments, or muscles holding my shoulder blade onto my back. And
the
doctor
actually cracking at?
The bone was not broken.
Oh.
But my shoulder blade was not attached to my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I used comfrey rather than surgery. And I have complete use of that arm. I can clasp my hands behind my back with one arm up over my head, which many people who haven't even been injured can't do. And again, I put that down to comfrey, and I probably drank between 4 and 6 quarts of comfrey every week while that was healing.
So would you recommend drinking a whole quart of this infusion per day?
That's what I do.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Skip, I have a bunch here that you can come.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have a bunch of comfrey here you can come harvest if you want to take it and dry it for your infusion.
Okay, great. Justine.
You have a good place. Well, you dry garlic, so you probably do have a good place to dry the comfrey.
Yeah, definitely. So
it needs to be like the garlic in a shaded area with good air circulation. Comfrey is so rich in protein that generally I harvest the flowering stalk and I hang them individually to dry.
Okay, I can do
and
that.
And yes, it needs to be dried before you make the infusion.
I mean, like crispy dry all the way.
Yeah.
All okay. the way. In other words, it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks from now before the comfrey that you harvest is going to be dry.
Right.
So you're probably
anything?
Going to want to go out and buy dried comfrey.
So I can buy dry comfrey and do the same infusion, 1 ounce to 1 quart, boiling water, 4 hours overnight.
Buy it in bulk at the health food store.
Uh-huh.
Or by mail.
Okay.
Or
yeah,
over the web. Yeah. So,
no, they
yeah.
Used sell, they used to sell comfrey in the health food store because somebody said they weren't doing that because of the FDA warnings.
Really? Well, that's news to us, I guess.
Well, that's what somebody told me. I don't
you
know.
Know.
I never tried to buy it, so I didn't. I'm
Hello, there's been
home,
an FDA warning on chamomile for 20 years, and people sell plenty of chamomile.
Then why if Skip, if you're stuck at home anyhow, then why don't you have it? Why don't you order it mail? You know, delivered.
Okay.
Frontier right. Herbs.
What about the castor oil element? Is that not true?
The what?
I wouldn't
castor
bother.
Castor oil.
Castor oil is also significant in bone healing. Is that not true?
Not true.
Not true. Okay.
Doctor, my castor has no effect that I know of on bone healing at all.
But does it ease pain?
I'm not having pain.
Oh, good.
The only pain I have is a stiff leg for sitting in this.
It's just a pain in the ass because you can't get
it's
up,
just
eh?
It's a pain in the knee,
yeah,
it
exactly.
sounds like. Yeah.
So
other thing that I think is really important here is that right now, you have a very strong image of this bone with the pieces and the two parts not meeting. And that very strong image that you have needs to change. And you need to see those pieces meeting and joining and growing together. And
okay.
you might say, well, that's not happening. That's fine. Fake it.
Okay.
Tell your body that that's what's happening. I
okay.
worked on a carpentry crew, and one of the people on the carpentry crew decided to adjust his belt sander with his thumb while it was running. And needless to say, it chewed his thumb off. It ground his thumb off, ground the thumbnail totally off. And the doctor said, you know, well, probably some skin would grow. Maybe they would have to do a skin graft, but he would never have, you know, a usable thumb or thumbnail. And they, you know, bandaged it up and wrapped it up and said, well, we'll let it heal, and then, you know, we'll look at it in a while, and we'll see, you know, if we need to do skin grafts. And I had this man sit with his two hands, the bandaged hand and the other uninjured hand, in front of him for 5 minutes, three times a day, and simply say to himself, the hand, the thumb under the bandage looks just like this other thumb. And when they took the bandage off, the doctor said, I've never seen anything like this. Why, your thumb looks just like the other thumb.
And all of a sudden, he had two left thumbs, right?
Exactly. He had two left thumbs, yes.
Susan, we have other callers who are waiting
okay.
to ask questions.
Okay.
Skip,
okay.
I love you.
Susan.
Email if you need help.
What's the email address?
Wisewoman@herbshealing.com or Justine at Smythe House.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Skip.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, now, we are going to, let's see, we're going to a 951 area code. Are you there? In the 95.
Oh.
Hi.
Oh, hi there. You know what? I'm just listening. I don't have a question right now. Thank you.
Okay, very good. I'll put you back on mute. Someone in the 919 area looks like they have a question. Are you there? Is there someone in the 919 with a question or not? Or okay now?
Well, we're okay if you...
You're all set. Okay. Very good. Putting you back on mute. Okay, Susan, I have another question, someone who emailed in, and I'd like to take this opportunity to get her an answer. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, great. My name is Nancy, and I'm 26. I have been diagnosed with premature ovarian failure. Because of this, I suffer from various symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, TMJ, back pain, low libido. My symptoms are unbearable. I refuse to start hormone replacement therapy. I've been interested in alternative medicine. I'm planning on getting my master's in acupuncture and herbology. I work at a restaurant, and I have heard your name from customers. Could you please help me?
Sure. First of all, about half of the symptoms that you mentioned have nothing whatsoever to do with what's going on with your ovaries. TMJ has nothing, you know, that's your jaw. You're clenching your jaw. So maybe it's because your symptoms are unbearable, but what's happening with your ovaries does not cause TMJ. Similarly, there was something else that you mentioned just before that or just after that, which is not at all related to what's going on with your hormones. Could you read that part again around the TMJ? Justine? No. Okay. So we'll go on.
No, yes. Yes, I could. I'm sorry. I was talking, but I hadn't unmuted myself. Excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, I suffer from symptoms such as hot flashes, night sweats, TMJ, back pain, blurred thoughts, low libido, and...
Right. Back pain, nothing to do with what's going on. TMJ, nothing to do with going on. Blurred thoughts, probably nothing to do with what's going on. Here. So if you're looking for something to relieve those things, we need to look somewhere else. So basically, let's set the stage here so that we understand what we're talking about. Girl babies start making estrogen in their mother's womb. We start making estrogen at about 5 months of gestation, and we make 29 kinds of non-ovarian estrogen. We are making those 29 kinds of non-ovarian estrogen when we were born. You are making those 29 kinds of non-ovarian estrogen. I, at 67, 20 years past my last period, am making those 29 non-ovarian estrogens. Every woman makes 29 kinds of estrogen every day of her life from 4 months before she's born until the day she dies. What we need to do is to make sure that your body is utilizing those non-ovarian estrogens. And I often notice on Tuesdays that themes arise, and we certainly have a theme arising tonight. And one of the themes is in order to utilize those estrogens, which are basically forms of cholesterol, we need more cholesterol in our diet. We need more butter in our diet. We need more full-fat yogurt in our diet. We need more full-fat cheese in our diet. We need more eggs in our diet. We need more meat in our diet in order to get the cholesterol up so that our bodies can start to use those non-ovarian hormones. Now, there is a 30th kind of estrogen, which is made by the ovaries. And when we stop making that 30th kind of estrogen, then there is a period of time called menopause in which we get some of the symptoms you have discussed. Hot flashes are a typical symptom of menopause and occur when we stop making estradiol, this one ovarian estrogen. All right. You will get over it. If it is intolerable, then take hormones. If you don't want to take hormones, then stop saying it's intolerable. There are millions of women in the world who have had hot flashes, and they're not intolerable. They're uncomfortable. They made me disgruntled. You know, I hate being hot. I certainly hated hot, having hot flashes. And there were certain times when I thought it was just unfair. It's like, I can't even have an orgasm without having a hot flash. This is really unfair. And I would get, you know, a little annoyed by it, but intolerable. Truly, if it's intolerable, then go take hormones. You know, so I think that you need to stop using that word. Because it just seems to me that it's setting you up in a really kind of non-loving way, right? Waking up during the night, typical of menopause. I know that you think of yourself as far too young to be going through menopause, but that is indeed what is happening. You are going through menopause. And menopause, like puberty, is a period in which there's a lot of change, but it comes to an end. So perhaps what is intolerable is that you're telling yourself a story that this is going to go on for the rest of your life, and it's not. It simply won't. Even if you do nothing, you will move through the hot flashes, you will move through the sleeplessness, and you will, again, have a life with 29 non-ovarian estrogens circulating through your body, and you will be past the hot flashes, and you will be past the sleepless nights. But that, again, is fairly normal. Now, I do have a large book called New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, and it's filled with lots and lots and lots of suggestions that will help you to moderate those hot flashes, that will help you to get a better night's sleep. But I really don't have time to go into that in a consultation, so I would urge you to get the book. Again, I know it's hard for you to conceive of yourself as being in menopause, but you are truly in menopause. The last thing that we need to talk about, which is something I haven't talked about yet tonight, is that in order for the estrogens that your body is making and in order for the estrogens that you can get from food to be active, you need to have really good gut flora. And really good gut flora comes from eating lots of things that contain bacteria and fungi and molds, because that's what gut flora are. So blue cheese, miso, sauerkraut, homemade beer, homemade wine. These are all wonderful ways. Yogurt, kefir, these are all wonderful ways to get your gut colonized with beneficial bacteria that will help you utilize the estrogens that you are making and the estrogens that you get from every seed and from every root that you consume. So, yes, carrots have just as much as flaxseed. Flaxseed isn't any special thing. Every seed and every root has lots of phytosterols, which are precursors to estrogens, but they must be fermented out. So in addition to helping our gut flora, we also don't want to harm it. And most people are absolutely aware that antibiotics harm our gut flora. And many people know that chlorinated water, of course the chlorine's in the water to kill bacteria, and it kills gut flora too. And some of those people know that taking a shower in chlorinated water, in fact, will kill more gut flora than drinking chlorinated water. And that filters are easily available for getting it out of your shower water or your bath water, and that you can simply boil the chlorine out of any drinking water. Just put it in an open pot and boil it. Chlorine's a gas, and it will escape. And a few people even know that food preservatives are put in food in order to kill bacteria and fungi, and that means they kill gut flora. And they know to avoid drinking, say, apple cider with 0.1% of sodium, potassium in it. That is going to kill gut flora. They know not to buy breakfast cereals that have preservatives in them. Anytime you are doing those things, you are disturbing your gut flora. But what most people don't know is that essential oils kill gut flora. And that is whether you are smelling them, whether you're wearing them, or whether you're ingesting them. All three modes of delivery will kill gut flora. As a matter of fact, some people say that essential oils are as good as antibiotics at killing bacteria and fungi, and I do agree with that. They kill gut flora just as thoroughly as antibiotics would, and they do antibiotics, one better, because essential oils are not only antibacterial and antifungal, and so totally disturbing to the gut flora, but they also disturb and disrupt the hormones. So for someone in your situation, although it would be difficult, I would urge you to go through everything in your house, and anything that has any essential oil in it, get it out of your life. Get it out of your life by tomorrow, if you possibly can. No toothpaste with essential oil, no mouthwash with essential oil, no soap with essential oil, no shampoo, no body lotion with essential oil. Look around you. You'll see that you're quite likely doing your gut flora and your hormonal system in with essential oils.
Thank you. Thank you for that reminder about essential oils, and they seem to be everywhere these days. You just can't get away from them. Although, more and more I'm seeing scent-free products becoming available, too, so that's encouraging.
Hooray!
Hooray! Kelly wrote in, and she said, I stumbled across your website, and how lucky I am. I'm suffering with anxiety and insomnia. I've taken motherwort, St. Joan's wort, valerian, and skullcap. I've spent lots on therapies, acupuncture, biodynamic healing. I'm seeing a counselor. I'm doing everything, but I get anxious in the evening, and I can't sleep, and then I start worrying, and then I take Valium. I don't like taking medication because I want to be connected to nature. I've always been interested in nature, but now I feel like I'm on a merry-go-round. I started more medication, but I do practice yoga. Please help. Tell me what advice you would offer. Thank you. I'm 42, by the way.
Okay, and this is somebody who wrote in, yes?
Yes, she did. She wrote in.
Because, of course, I have some questions as to what form are you taking these herbs in? Because that makes a huge difference. Motherwort and capsules, I don't think it's going to have any effect at all on anxiety. Motherwort tea, not going to have any effect on anxiety. Motherwort tincture, made from dried motherwort, is not going to have any effect on anxiety. The only way that I have seen motherwort to be effective is the tincture of the fresh plant. And again, we know that Red Moon Herbs makes their tinctures from fresh plants, and that Catskill Mountain Herbs makes their tinctures from fresh plants. There may be other places as well. I'm not saying that these are the only places, but I will admit that the two women who run these places are past apprentices of mine, and this is why they make their tinctures with fresh plant material, because I have trained them to do that. And so my only interest here is in telling you where you can get an effective motherwort tincture. Of course, you can also make your own. And there are YouTubes as well as instructions in my books and at my website for making your own motherwort tincture. I'm certainly not saying that you have to buy it. Motherwort tincture is usually made from the flowering top of motherwort. And throughout much of the United States, motherwort comes into flower by mid-June. So we're heading right into that time. So it'd be very easy for you to make your own. And I don't know where you live. You may live very far away. But if you don't live that far away and you want to come here and make motherwort tincture with me, I'm going to be doing it in June. We're going to have a class called The Great Remedies, and we'll make motherwort tincture at that class. And you'll see how easy it is to do that.
There's insane amounts of motherwort growing in my yard this year.
Huge amounts of motherwort growing everywhere. It grows readily and easily throughout most of the United States. Certainly, as you get down into the tropics, motherwort disappears. And as you get up very, very high, it also disappears. It doesn't like those extremes. But throughout most of the rest of the regular areas, you're going to find it. And I would suggest, if you're using motherwort as anti-anxiety herb, to take a dropper full first thing in the morning and to keep your motherwort tincture with you. And should you begin to get anxious at any point during the day, take another 5 to 10 drops of motherwort. I would also suggest that you get a notebook, a worry notebook, And it can be a beautiful book or it can be an ugly book, whatever you want. And when you have a worry, you write it down in your notebook. But you see, once you've written it down in your notebook, you are no longer allowed to think it. You are not allowed ever, ever, ever to think that thing again. You can read your notebook anytime you want to, but if that thought comes up in your mind, you must banish it. You must say, I've already written you down. You must go away now. And you would be surprised at how quickly you move yourself through your anxieties. Because most of what's going on is simply repetition. Now, there is a part of our brain that repeats frightening things so that we learn to avoid them. But that part of the brain, as in your case, can get a little overeager and keep reminding us all the time that bad things happen. And it's certainly true. We do know that bad things happen, and bad things happen to good people, and bad things happen to prepared people. And so because of that, it really doesn't help to be anxious about them, because being anxious, well, it's kind of like leaving early for the airport. People say, oh, you should leave early for the airport. What if there's an accident on the road? And I always say, if there's an accident on the road, no matter how early I've left, I'm going to be late. So it's pointless to worry about it. I'm just going to assume that everything is going to carry on well. The other thing, and this is a theme of the evening, is that I find that this kind of anxious thinking arises frequently among people who have diets that are deprived, people who are not eating certain critical foods like meat or milk. The gifts of the animals are so important for our health, and they are critically important for brain health. And we're really talking about brain function here. Anxiety is what's going on in your brain. And if you're eating a diet that is raw food, your brain is not getting nourished. And if you're eating a vegan diet, your brain is not getting nourished. And the vast majority of vegetarians do not eat enough dairy products or enough fish to really nourish their brains. Again, because I can't talk to you, I don't really know, I'm guessing. And as I said, this is a theme of the evening, so it's not the first time that you've heard it this evening, but it is in a different context. And the context being that we're not talking about a baby's brain now, we're talking about an adult's brain. And we're talking about the ability to have good brain function. I would also say that drinking a quart of nourishing herbal infusion a day, and I rotate through stinging nettle, oat straw, red clover, comfrey, and linden, will definitely increase the stability of the brain. Now, I interviewed the other evening a wonderful MD named Susan Mead. We often laugh at how much our names sound alike. And Susan Mead said that she has, over the past short period of time, had people coming to her with severe anxiety, with neuralgias, and with a variety of other, what she calls, nervous system disorders. And she has found that the vast majority of those people respond very quickly and very powerfully to oat straw infusion. And we do know that oat straw is a great herb for helping the nervous system, of which, of course, the brain is part. For people who have really severe problems, most herbalists suggest tincture of milky oats, and that usually is made from the fresh plant material, and that's certainly something that could help. The skullcap should only be taken in the evening. If you're going to take the skullcap, reserve it for right before you go to bed. Skullcap tincture made from dried skullcap, so far as I can tell, is completely useless. It needs to be made from the fresh plant material. You heard the 90-second warning just like I did. And so we know that we have to say goodbye and green blessings, and I hope that this has been of some help to you. Remember, herbal medicine is people's medicine. It's the medicine that grows right outside your door. Keep it simple. Keep it safe. Susan Weed wishes you green blessings. Till next week.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good night, Susan. Everybody's unmuted if you want to say good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night,
everybody. Blessings. Good night, Justine. Thank you so much for doing a wonderful job of moderating.
Good night, Susan. I love you.
Love you too, honey. Mwah. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.